I posed a question that's the title of the message, and then a sub-question that I didn't want to take the time to write down and take the room in the notes. It's, where are you living spiritually? I posed similar questions before and posed it again today to get you to think. Or, where are you walking spiritually? Now, in the Scriptures, there's three possibilities in the New Testament, in the writings of the Apostle Paul that were given under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. There's three possible conditions of people, spiritual condition. There's three possible ways that you can walk. There's the natural walk, there's the carnal walk, and there's the spiritual walk. Natural, carnal, and spiritual. Pastor Darrell read the passage that I asked him to in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, it would be a good idea to open up 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to talk about the natural man, first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now, when we see the phrase "the natural man," the word "man" here is talking about a human being, mankind, regardless of the gender. In other words, what I'm saying is, when it's talking about somebody who's natural, it can be a natural man or a natural woman. Hence, an unsaved man or an unsaved woman, because the very word "natural" there is the word that means soul and refers to the body being governed by the soul or the natural or fallen nature of man. So it's talking about someone who is unsaved. They are in the state that they were born in. Very clearly, the Apostle Paul penned to the Ephesians that were dead in our trespasses and sin. When a young child is born into the world, as you know, you don't have to teach them how to sin. You don't have to teach them how to be selfish. Why? It comes naturally, and because we're all born sinners. And so when we're talking about the natural man here, the unsaved man, the key characteristic is that biblical things really don't make sense to someone who's unsaved. It's interesting. I do have some in my study, commentaries, Bible commentaries written by unsaved people. I have a few of those. And they are so much baloney. I mean, it's obvious that they just don't get it. They question whether that's a part of the Scripture, and they question this, and then they give philosophical views that are human-based and man-made. What a mess. You see, before the conviction of the Holy Spirit, if someone isn't listening to the Holy Spirit, if somebody isn't interested in trusting Christ, before the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you can read the Bible all you want to. In fact, the Jewish leaders read the Bible. They read it a whole bunch. And Jesus said to them, well, in them you think that you have eternal life. They're reading all this stuff, but they're not getting it. They were satisfied the way that they were. They liked the way that they were going. They weren't open to the Holy Spirit. They didn't want to understand. They didn't want to know that they were sinners and come short of the glory of God. And so when it says foolishness, it's a very interesting word. It is moria, from where we get our word moronic in the English. In other words, for somebody who's not seeking and searching for the Lord with all their heart, the things of the Scripture seem to be moronic. They don't seem to make sense. In fact, they seem to be contrary to human reasoning. And human reasoning is the big thing in humanism today, because, you know, basically the United States is a humanistic nation. That's the philosophy. That is, man is the measure of all things. If it doesn't make sense intellectually to you, if it's contrary to how you feel, if it's contrary to how you think, then you kind of push it aside and say, poof, a national Jewish scrapbook, kind of not real important to me. Don't understand it. So since my mind is the measure of all truth, then I can just push aside the Scripture. That's the natural man. And the natural man is set in his own way. And the stuff that the Bible talks about is absurdity to them. The spiritual things, they just don't make sense. What a blessing it's been through the years to lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ and then have them tell how the Lord began to, by the Holy Spirit, open up the Scriptures to them. How they began to realize that they were sinners. How they began to recognize that there's a consequence to sin. And how they began to be under conviction of the Holy Spirit. And little by little, they saw that the only way out for them was to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they called upon the name of the Lord. And then you talk to them as they start to grow. And they'll read the same things in the Scripture that made no sense to them previously. And it'll start making sense. And they'll go, wow, I missed that. You know why? Well, the Bible says it's because they're spiritually discerned. This isn't just a regular book. This is a book that is given by inspiration of God. And if you will grasp the book that's given by inspiration of God, you need the Holy Spirit, who is the resident teacher in you that helps you to understand spiritual truths. I'm not against studying the Scriptures before you're saved, because then if you start opening yourself up to the Lord and if you start seeking the Lord like the Ethiopian eunuch did, the Lord will work the Holy Spirit to open your eyes and help you to see. But if you think just by reading the Scriptures, because I have had opportunity to talk with unsaved people who know the Bible better than I do, a couple of people in my life, they know the Bible better than I do. However, you know what? It doesn't make any sense to them. They don't believe it. They can quote the verses, but it means absolutely nothing to them. And what a great tragedy that is, because they're natural. They're natural. And the end of the natural man, if they die in that state, is that they go to a Christless eternity in hell. They can have all kinds of knowledge. They can know a lot of the Bible, but if they do not know Christ, the natural man is a man that's doomed to a destiny apart from God in the lake of fire for all of eternity. Now, there is the next step. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, and we're going to talk about the carnal man. The carnal man. And again, it can be a carnal woman as well, but Paul refers to the carnal man, the carnal person, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." He says, I can't talk to you like I would talk to somebody who's a spiritual person. I can't share with you the meat of the word because you're still sucking a bottle. He goes on and says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ." Look at verse 2. He says, "I have fed you with milk and not meat, for hither unto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye now able." I mean, they've been saved. They've been saved for quite a time, but they're still sucking the bottle. They still are having divisions and strife and envying in their, and say they need somebody constantly stick a bottle in their mouth because they're never satisfied. They get offended easily. They don't understand things because they're still babies. They're still babies. They're still whining. They're still making a problem. It says 4 in verse 3, "Ye are yet carnal." Now look at, here's what it says about a carnal person. "For whereas there is among you," look at this, "envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" He says, you're saved, but you're walking just like an unsaved person would walk. You have the same emotions. You have the same reactions. The Greek word carnal means to be under control of the flesh or the old nature. A carnal person is a person who indeed has trusted in Christ, but is controlled by the old nature, is controlled by the flesh, not controlled by the Spirit. They are spiritually immature, and their lives are characterized by envying, strife, and division. They haven't separated themselves from the world. You might call them very worldly. There is a real spiritual war going on inside of them. It's genuine because they know better, but they don't want to do what they know they're supposed to do. And there's this battle that goes back and forth. And if we have time, we'll look at that battle a little bit later in the service. The thing is they need to get into God's Word, and they usually aren't. They need to meditate on God's Word, and they usually don't. They need to obey God's Word in order that they can grow, and they don't want to obey it. They need to yield to the control of the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit, but they don't. They walk in the flesh. The majority of Christians fall into the carnal category. They don't really want to make a break with the world. They really don't want to do what God's Word says. They straddle the fence. They kind of like to eat from both sides of the fence, and that should not be. God can't bless you, and you will not grow. You know what? You'll be end up sucking a bottle. That's your whole life. I don't have the baby bottle from the baby bottle boomerang thing here. I was going to take that bottle, and constantly. And you know what? A pastor. It makes it so difficult on a pastor because a pastor has to continually stuff a bottle in your mouth. You know, because they're the ones that are always having a problem or causing a problem. They're the ones that, they're always offended. They're all kinds of problems with a carnal Christian. But that's where so many people live. Oh, yeah, a carnal person is saved. They'll be saved so yet as by fire. Well, my worry is that some people who have had no change in their life whatsoever, I don't think they're saved. You don't see any fruit, not even a dried raisin. So you don't know, are they saved or are they not saved? God keeps the books. God keeps the books. You need to examine yourself. You need to decide whether you're in the faith or not. You need to examine yourself by God's Word. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. But you can expect to have a very rocky existence, because what happens, as we'll see a little bit later, is that you're very easily tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. That's what happens with the carnal Christian. The carnal Christian is just very easily off-center, off-kilter, because their eyes aren't clearly on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're double-minded. A double-minded man, a double-minded woman is unstable in all the ways. You know, one minute they're dabbling in the world, and the next minute they're trying to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, it's just like one time when I was in Israel, I was looking one way, then looking another way, and trying to take a picture, and I about walked right into the corner of a wall. Now, why? You're trying to look both ways at once and you're not paying attention to anything. Well, I hope that it's your aspiration, or that you find yourself there, that you're a spiritual man. Because we read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 15. It says, "But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." The word spiritual is the word that means controlled by the Holy Spirit, not controlled by the old nature. This verse addresses believers whose life is controlled by the Holy Spirit of the Lord, not the flesh, in Galatians 5:16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." How are you walking? Walk in the Spirit. And you're walking in the Spirit when you're following God's leading, when you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You're not going to fulfill the desires of the flesh. I'll tell you something, it's not going to be neutral. You're either going to have the desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're going to have the desires of the old nature. And one of those is going to dominate in your life. But very clearly it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Every believer needs to walk here. They need to walk in the Spirit. Why? Because when you are spiritually minded, you can enjoy your fellowship with God. But if you are not spiritually minded, if you're walking in the flesh, you're not going to enjoy your fellowship with God. You're going to be thinking, oh man, is the other shoe going to drop? What's God going to do? Romans chapter 8, verse 6 through 8, for to be carnally minded is death. When you're out of fellowship with God, there's not any inner peace. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? Verse 7, for the carnal mind is enmity against God. You're functioning on the basis of your old nature, which you still have. For your old nature, to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace, but to be carnally minded is enmity with God, for it is not subject unto the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. God cannot be your comforter. God cannot be your comforter as He wants to be. He's your convictor or your chastiser. Ask yourself the question. I do want you to ask yourself the question. Where are you living spiritually? I do want you to ask and answer the question. Where are you? Are natural, carnal, or spiritual? Where? Where are you walking? Let me just tell you, you cannot be spiritual and walk carnal. I had somebody tell me, well, I'm a fundamentalist in belief and a liberal in practice. Yeah, right. You bet. I'm a millionaire in belief and a pauper in practice. Yeah, so what are you? You know? I mean, where are you living spiritually? Where are you walking spiritually? If you're walking carnally, then you are not living spiritually. It's a dynamic impossibility. It's possible that you're natural. You're unsaved. I don't know, but you need to answer the question. If you are living in the natural realm, you are in serious danger of damnation. You have no idea when you're going to take your last breath. You just don't know. I hope you live a good long time, but you do not know. You do not. It happens every day. People die when they weren't expecting to die. And it doesn't matter if you say, Lord, I'm not ready for this. It's appointed unto men once to what? Die. It's going to happen to him. It's going to happen to me. It's going to happen to him. It's going to happen to her. It's going to happen to you. I don't know when. I'm not wanting to rush it, but it's going to happen. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. And you know, when we're talking about the judgment, that's what's going to be judged. Are you natural? If you're natural, guess where you're going? As we used to say when we didn't want to say it out loud when we were kids, H-E double toothpicks. Hell. And that isn't a swear word. That's a literal, actual place. And then, at the great white throne of judgment, death and hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire, which is the eternal hell. This other hell is the holding place because you're without Christ. When you stand before the great white throne of judgment, the degree of punishment is determined that you'll experience for all of eternity, and death and hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire, and that is forever, friends. Do you know Jesus? If you're walking naturally, get out of that realm. Don't live there. Don't chance it. Well, or is it carnal? Or is it carnal? If you are carnal, you can expect that your mind is going to be tossed to and fro and your life is going to be filled with strife. It is. I talk to people like that all the time. They're always in an upset about something. And you know what's interesting? You know what's interesting over these years of preaching and trying to counsel people? You'll tell them what the answer is biblically, and so many of them will not want to do it. They're having marriage difficulties, so you tell them the truth from the Scripture, how to remedy it, but they will not want to do it. Their pride gets in the way. There is a cost, friends. There is a cost. Jesus says, take up your cross daily and follow Him. There is a cost. Daily, you have to make a conscious decision where you're going to walk. Or there's the spiritual realm in which you enjoy the inner peace of God. So where do you live? There's a great tug of war going on between the old and the new nature. We've inherited that old nature. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All of us have that old nature. Every single solitary one of us. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about us being dead in our trespasses and sins, so we have that old nature. If we look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. When you get saved, you get a new nature, but your old one isn't eradicated. It would be nice if the old one's eradicated. I'm looking forward to having my old one eradicated. You know when that's going to happen? And not when you join a church that believes in eradication of the old nature. No, but the moment that I hear that trump comes and I get a new glorified body, then that old nature is eradicated. Amen! I'm not going to have time with it anymore. I don't have to worry about it anymore. But you can have victory over your old nature. You can't reform that old nature any more than a leopard can change its spots or a tiger can change its stripes. Went to the Union Grove Fair and was a little bit shocked when I walked around the corner after looking at the farm implements. And here is 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 4 cages, maybe 5. And here are 4 or 5 tigers in the cage. You know what? No amount of scrubbing is going to take... You go ahead and scrub them. I'm not going to try it. But no amount of scrubbing and bleaching is going to take the stripes off a tiger. And you can't get rid of your old nature. You can't run your spiritual engine on natural gas either. It has to be done the biblical way. We've all got an old Adamic nature. And what we need to do is not reform it. What we need to do is live in the new nature. Romans 7, verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. The law of my mind is called in Romans 7:23. While some question the reference in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul refers to the believer's new nature of having the mind of Christ. You know how you feed the mind of Christ? Right here with the Word of God, in prayer, in Christian fellowship. Well, there's going to be a struggle between the natures. If you're a believer, the Apostle Paul talks about that struggle. There's a great tug of war. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. See, our old nature is intent on pulling us into the pig pen to feast on the swill of the pigs. I went to the Racine County Fair, as I mentioned, and I always like to see the animals, and I even like to see the pigs. Go in there, and you know what the pigs are doing? Even though there's cement floor there, they're rooting. Their nose is down, and they're rooting in the dirt. They're rooting in the dust. If you let your old nature rule in your life and you're a believer, you're rooting in the dust. It's not going to do you any valuable, anything helpful. It's just going to get you dirty. It's just going to get you dirty. You need to get into the Word of God. The Apostle Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the bondage of this death?" And we see in Romans 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So, let me conclude so we can come to the Lord's table. I want you to answer the question again. Where are you walking? Where are you living? Natural man? Carnal man? Spiritual man? One of the three. One of the three. Natural man, carnal man, spiritual man. The best place to live. The best place to walk is walking in the Spirit, because then you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then God will be able to be your comforter and encourager instead of your convictor and your chastiser.